خب وقت آخر good morning.
Good morning, Virginie Crudon.
It's a pleasure to have you outside enjoying the sun and some relaxation. Thank you for accepting us during your holidays. It's really
in the middle of my holiday, but very happy to talk to you.
It's you are the executive director of relational analytics, and we are going to look into what relational analytics is. But my first question to you, as I used to ask participants in this project, what does public value mean to you, Prabhu?
Public value to me means to be able to encourage corporations and other organizations and indeed individuals, not just to live their lives or operate in a way that is only for their own advantage, but also for the advantage of the public at large. And that means, of course, the advantage of the public in the sense of the customers you serve or the people you serve, the clients you serve, but also in terms of the region or the area you're in, and indeed the world as a whole.
Yes, it's also, as I understand, a long-term perspective rather than a short-term making profit.
Indeed, very much so, because public value can only be delivered or kept in mind in a sustainable way. So, yes.
So we are at the crossroads of sustainability, long-term strategy, and people. Yes. And tell us what relational analytics is then.
Relational analytics is essentially simply a way of measuring relationships. You know, there are five key dimensions of any relationship, whether that is between individuals or between an individual and an organization or between different organizations or indeed between an organization and its stakeholders. So in each of these cases, there are relationships. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't matter what kind of relationship it is, there are five essential dimensions of any relationship, and relational analytics is a way of measuring them because you cannot improve something in any systematic way if you cannot measure it. So that's really what this enables you to do.
So it's about putting people at the center of any strategy.
Well, it's really putting relationships at the center of any strategy. It can be, of course, relationships between people with people, but it can also be relationships between organizations. So, for example, if your organization has a relationship as an organization with the United Nations or with your Chamber of Commerce or with another supplier company, then this is not merely a matter of your personal relationship with the Secretary General of the United Nations, or your personal relationship with the head of the Chamber of Commerce, or your supplier organization, or your customer organization. It's also a matter of the organizational connection, which means the role that the organizations are playing with each other. Are you a member organization? Are you a customer? Are you a regulator? Are you a investor? Organization, I mean, not just individual. And the role that you play, of course, influences the relationship, not just the persons involved, but the organizational role involved. So keeping all those things in mind, the relational analytics enables you to measure the relationship and therefore to improve it.
Right. I understand that you are giving or you are describing a world in motion. Yes, the relationships are always in motion and very far away from a static business plan with just figures. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. So we argue that while figures will give you the financial health report, the financial health report is like the backward-facing mirror in your car. It tells you what happened in the past. Yeah. But it doesn't tell you what is happening right now, because what is happening right now, you can see through the front screen window and maybe through the side windows a little bit, because cars may be coming up to you or going away from you. So your current situation and your future situation, your financial report will not tell you. And what will tell you your future and your current situation is actually the is the quality of your relationships, because the quality of the relationships covers communication, covers the use of power, covers the alignment between organizations, how far they're working together, in with what effectiveness they're working together, and so on.
Public Value considers that among the stakeholders of any corporation, we should find the public, society, and the environment as well, or representatives of the environment. But I mean, if you push the concept a bit far, it's the environment being an active stakeholder of any corporation. How does relational analytics align with that?
So it aligns with it in two ways. One is because, of course, there are environmental consequences to any relationship, which is obvious. But the second is that you can look at the relationship with the environment in a very systematic way. For example, you have a relationship with the community that you're in. For example, if you're a mining company, there's a very direct environmental impact that your mining operations will have on the environment. And you can, of course, do the CO2 measurements or whatever abstract things like that if you want, which people do, and which is very essential and very good. But you can also take the whole of the community into account. And the community, if you measure the relationship between your organization, your mining company, and your community, you will get insights through your communication with them, which you will not get simply by measuring CO2 emissions or whatever other chemical effects you're looking at. So the involvement of the organizational involvement of the community, or the organizational involvement with the regulators, or the organizational involvement of the government, are aspects which would bring in the environmental considerations very directly into focus, not just indirectly into focus.
Right, it will bring in the impact and a respect of the impact, positive and negative impact, that any corporation can have.
Yes.
Yes, and therefore impact again on their own communication and behavior.
Indeed so. Unfortunately, a lot of companies think of communication only as a one-way thing. I'm trying to tell my story. I'm trying to sell my side of the argument. And they don't think of communication as a two-way thing. And so communication becomes very manipulative and sometimes even becomes fake news, or as it's sometimes called, greenwash. But if you think of communication as a two-way thing, I'm, of course, presenting my side of the story, you're presenting your side of the story. It's a dialogue. And in this dialogue, what matters is the quality of the relationship, and it impacts the relationship. Then you can systematically look at how frequently we are in touch, for how long we are in touch, how we feel that the power in the relationship is being managed, whether it's being managed in a way which supports the relationship, subverts or undermines the relationship, enriches the relationship, enables the relationship to be a forward-looking and forward-going one in such a way that we're all making progress together, or what? And it's that wider sense of communication, it's that wider sense of relationships, when that is measured and supported and nourished and taken forward, that it makes the most strong impact, whether environmentally or in terms of your bottom line.
Yeah, that's interesting. Can you tell us how many are these corporations thinking in these terms? I keep mentioning the UN Global Compact measurement that says that less than 10%.
Yeah, it seems to me, Virginia, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it and say, well, maybe 10% of the most apparently socially most responsible companies are actually active in a way that makes a real difference. That would be possibly true. But you must remember that 10 years ago or 20 years ago, the number was much smaller.
Yes.
So you have to look at the trend, and you have to see that the trend is growing, and the trend is actually growing very fast. Yes. If you look at the last elections, political elections in the UK, you see that the Green Party, not my party, by the way, but the Green Party was actually one of the biggest winners against the major parties.
Yes, all over Europe.
The Conservative Party lost, the Labour Party lost support. The Liberal Democrats and the Greens are the two parties that won a huge advantage in these elections. Of course, you could argue this is for all kinds of reasons. Yes, it is for all kinds of reasons. But one reason is certainly that people are much more conscious of green things. And companies have to take that into account, because if they don't, their customers will move on and you will be left behind.
Is it a generational thing, Pavel?
I'm not sure that it's a generational thing. I'm sure generational factors come into play, but I'm not sure that it's a generational thing. For example, in my own family, it's the older generation that were the most conscious about it. My generation inherited that consciousness from the older generation, and the children inherited it from us. In other cases, I'm sure it's the other way around. Young people go to school, learn about things, become environmentally conscious, share it with their parents, and almost insist, almost complain if the parents are not participating in it. So I'm sure it happens both ways. And I think it's more a question of whether individuals, families, organizations, and companies are prepared to pay the short-term cost of the long-term advantage to themselves and to everybody else. It really boils down to whether you're willing to pay the cost, short-term cost, of that long-term advantage. And sadly, not every company is, because many companies are driven too much by short-term pressures, even if it's to their own long-term disadvantage.
Yes, there is literature in your
website.
On your website, absolutely, we're going to link to it. But I mean, in your field as well. And yes, it's actually a relational lens that you suggest to put on glasses, yes? It's really a different mindset.
It is a different mindset. And the difference in the mindset is usually people have just one eyeglass on, and that's finance. And they look at everything finance, 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 and they look at everything this quarter, next quarter, this year maximum. And some people are even looking this week, this month. And what we are saying is you need to have two lenses. Of course, you need to have your finance lens. Any business has to survive financially. But do remember that you have two eyes. And the second eye should be that of relationships. What are my relationships with my customers? Are they long-term relationships? What are my relationships with my suppliers? Are they long-term relationships? Investors, my employees, and my community. And that includes, of course, the government, that includes the regulators, and so on. So you have to have a holistic view of all your relationships, or if you like, all your stakeholders. If the one-eyed approach is not to drive you into disaster, and sadly we see too many cases of the one-eyed approach making things narrower and narrower and tighter for companies, instead of being a full view of the company and of the situation, or the organization and the situation, which enables both that organization and other organizations and the environment and the world as a whole to flourish. That is what public value means.
Yes. And as we know, having two eyes means having distance and some clear understanding. So you avoid some unfortunate accidents. But are we convinced, are we sure that understanding how communities and the environment benefit from the corporation brings financial impact? Can this second lens bring positive impact to the financial one?
You know, there was always a suspicion about it. And for many years, I was working for the world's largest bank. For 15 years, what was then the world's largest bank for 15 years. And we also always heard this story that public value, of course, that terminology was not used in those days, but the idea was public value, socially responsible way of operating your company, would be maybe beneficial in the very long term, but in the medium to short term, it was disadvantages. But actually, this is not the case. And particularly since the last crash in 2007, there have been study after study after study that demonstrates that actually the companies that are most corporately responsible, take public value most seriously, take social responsibility, environmental responsibility most seriously, are actually the companies that benefit most, not necessarily in a 3-month time frame, but certainly in a 3-year time frame, companies benefit, and it ensures the long-term future in a way that short-term thinking does not. Hmm. And on the other hand, there are case study after case study after case study where short-term thinking has come in and destroyed major corporations within 3 years.
Because of the lack of proper relational aspect? Because of what?
Yeah, because of a one-eyed focus on short-term financial advantage. And what happens if you look in a one-eyed way, in a short-term financial advantage way, is you can certainly maximize earnings over 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But then what happens is the company starts running into trouble. Why does it start running into trouble? Because its relationships are not long-term relationships. Employees start leaving the company because they get disgruntled and unhappy. Investors are only looking at your short-term results versus other short-term results. And they're going to others very quickly. They have no loyalty to you, just as you have had no loyalty to them. So if your investors are leaving and your employees are leaving and your customers are leaving because they feel not necessarily looked after in the best way, and your suppliers are leaving because they feel you're putting too much pressure on them, and you're selling off your properties and you are cutting back on research, then you will certainly make a huge financial result in a short term. But you're really cutting off all the sources from which growth can come. So if you want a growth mindset rather than a cutting mindset, then you need to invest in relationships. That's how you grow.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's really a 360 degree views for CEOs.
Thank you.
Prabhu, thank you so much for this conversation. It's a pleasure to go deeper into what relational analytics is.
Thank you very much, Virginie.